Blog Talk Radio.
It's Film Festival Radio, the show where superstars and future stars happily coexist together. And now, here's your host, Janice Malone.
Well, good morning and good afternoon, everyone. I am so happy that we are at the end of the week. I shouldn't say that, but I really am. It has been a very long week. I can't even count out how many interviews I've done this week. It's just been off the chain. But anyway, we have to get through not one, not two, but three guests for this particular show. Yeah, we've got a jam-packed show of guests here, and these are all people that are pretty much household names among viewers and listeners out there, and we're going to get right to it. Our first guests are from HGTV, which is one of my favorite television networks, probably about the only one that I watch more. Well, maybe the History Channel. I watch that one quite a bit. But from HGTV, we will be chatting with the Kitchen Cousins, John Culinary and his cousin Anthony Carino. And these guys have had, I believe this is their fourth new show that's about to start on July 1st. We probably know them best as when they did Kitchen Cousins, and then they did the show Cousins Undercover. And then there was a third show that I can't remember the name of, but they have really made an imprint with viewers among the HGTV crowd. So now, on July 1, they will be premiering a brand new show called America's Most Desperate Kitchens. Oh, my goodness. Just wait until you hear what they have to say about their new show. And again, I said it starts July 1st, 8 to 8:30 Eastern Time, 7:30, of course, Central. And so the cousins are going to share a little insight about the show. First show that they did was in Nashville. So we'll get more details about that shortly. And our second guest will be the lovely, the talented Miss Jasmine Lewis from the Barbershop movies, which she has starred in Barbershop 1 and 2. And right now, as we speak, they are wrapping up filming for Barbershop 3, where she stars as Ice Cube's wife. We love her in that role. But she's done so many other roles as well. But this one, starring as Ice Cube's wife, is probably her fans' favorite one because she's very good and she's very funny in it. So we'll be talking with Jasmine. And hopefully, if we don't run out of time to further speak of comedy, we'll be talking with the one and only stand-up comic and TV and film comedian, actor, Eddie Griffin. Eddie is out on the road with the rest of his buddies in comedy. They're doing the Black and Brown Comedy Get Down Tour in between all of the other work that they are doing. And so we're going to be chatting with Eddie Griffin at the end of the show. So we got a lot of guests to get in here. So let's start off first with the charismatic cousins, John Culinary and Anthony Carino. They're coming back again July 1, 8 to 8:30 Eastern Time with their brand new show, America's Most Desperate Kitchens. Now, in each episode, the cousins will choose some of the most saddest, the most horrible-looking kitchens. And these are based on thousands of videos that viewers sit in so that they hopefully can get selected for a makeover by the Kitchen Cousins. And, I mean, it's like hitting the kitchen lottery or something. The viewers, if you are selected, do not have to pay anything, nothing. I mean, we're talking about a high-end kitchen, just all the bells and whistles that a kitchen needs to have. So we're going to just turn it on and let you listen to the upcoming interview about this brand new show. Look at said, I'm a big, big fan of HGTV, so you know I'm going to be turning on listening to it. So without any further delay, let's talk to the Kitchen Cousins about their brand new upcoming show that will be premiering July 1st. So here we go.
One moment.
How you doing?
Good morning, John. How are you doing this morning?
Morning. Doing great. Good morning. We got our big premiere party tonight for the show. So.
Oh, my. Tell me about this party.
Okay.
I mean, are you guys, is it a mixture of fans and crew and yourselves or what?
It is. We're hosting it at, we own two restaurants that we just built and designed in downtown Jersey City. So we're hosting it there. We do have a lot of talent with media. We did a giveaway where we have three fans from
Jersey City.
All right,
Anthony's on as well.
Hello.
Hi, Anthony. We're just chatting about the big party. Oh, just fine. John is just telling about the big party you guys are going to have tonight.
Telling about the big party tonight.
That's it. Keep going, buddy. Don't let me interrupt you.
So we have some fans that we gave away tickets to, and then, of course, we have a lot of family and friends that are coming out to support us. So overall, we have right now, I don't know the final count, but we're definitely at like 150 people.
Oh, nice.
They're going to be coming out, and we have a big courtyard at the restaurant, so we're doing an advanced screening of the first two episodes that are showing next week, so everyone can see those episodes. And you know, we just want everyone to kind of spread the word and let people know. Get ready for July 1st at 8:00.
Well, okay. America's Most Desperate Kitchens, and I understand. I love the title. I understand that the first show that you guys went to Nashville. So, how desperate was Nashville with their kitchen?
Oh, Nashville was desperate. That's for sure. So you know, the thing about America's Most Desperate Kitchens is that, you know, with everybody wanting these open concept kitchens, that Most Desperate Kitchen winds up spilling out onto kind of the whole first floor of the home. So you really see some huge transformations in a really short period of time. But the kitchens in Nashville, I mean, they were literally falling apart by the time we got our hands on them.
Oh, my goodness. I can't wait to see this as well.
Well, let me tell you right now. Also, in Nashville, which you guys are not known for, we got to experience one of your snowstorms. So
yes,
that was I don't know, Ann, how do you even describe that driving there?
Driving in a two-wheel drive car down a highway that had absolutely no one on it because it was shut down and not loud. But we were not going to miss our surprise date. It was aggressive.
I bet.
You know, John and I are known for going a little above and beyond on these things.
Well, I mean, you guys are from the Jersey area, so the snow, but still in a two-wheel, yeah. And Nashville is very hilly. Well, a lot of people who have never been there don't know. It's very hilly, so I know that was fun.
Yeah, it was definitely an adventure getting to that first house, but it was a blast. We were laughing the whole way there.
Uh-huh.
We just said, you know, the one good thing we know is that this family is definitely going to be home because there's no way they're going out with this.
That's for sure. Well, now, you guys have really made it cool to be cousins. You're the charismatic cousins of America. You made it really cool. You know, sometimes cousins always, you know, would be like the stepchild of the family, but you guys have made it really cool to be cousins.
Well, thank you. Well, I appreciate that.
Well, thank you. Yeah, that's definitely a nice compliment. Well, I think, you know, Anthony and I, we both come from, you know, we each have two siblings, and we are both the oldest in our families. And I think Anthony and I have kept each other sane over the years.
That is well put, my friend. That is well put.
We're the ones that kind of always have each other's back no matter what's going on. And I think that has been seen in all the shows and everything that we've done to this point. And what makes our shows so great is the chemistry that Anthony and I have, because, you know, we love design, we love construction, but we also care so much about the homeowner, and we put so much passion into it. And I think that's why fans love watching our shows, because they know they're going to see two guys that honestly care about the project, about the homeowner, wanting to give them something way over the top. And at the same time, they're going to see us have a lot of fun doing it. And I will, and I'm telling you, this season, it's hard to laugh.
To laugh.
But it is hilarious. I mean, I can't even, there's so many funny moments, and I know things are coming, mm-hmm. and I am crying laughing because it's just so funny to actually see them happen. And that's what we want to do. We just want them to make a fun show that everybody can really enjoy.
Well, how many entries when the shout out for, hey, we're doing a new show, America's most desperate kitchens. How many entries did you guys get, or do you know it was so many?
Yeah, I mean, there's not a hard number on it, but it's in the tens of thousands.
What? Oh my goodness.
Yeah, well. You know, yeah, I mean, you have to remember we've had three other titles on HGTV. So,
sure, yeah.
You know, when they say, hey, the Cousins have a new show coming out, you know, a lot of people have seen our past work, and they were still trying to get on those shows. So, mm-hmm. You know, it was, to be off the air for a year and to get that kind of response, you know, and people really attaching to our work and really identifying with it and wanting us to do work in their home. You know, in the space that they live and that they raise their families, it really means a lot. I mean, people put a lot of trust and faith in us in that respect, and we really appreciate it. So to see that kind of response to the casting call was incredible.
So how long did it take you guys, and I know you have your staff as well, but how long did it take you guys to weed through all of those entries?
Well, we don't go through all the entries. It kind of goes, you know, the production company goes through the majority of them. They weed it down to finalists with the network, and then, you know, we're making those final decisions on the show, you know, as you see it unfold.
Okay. I remember...
We almost get, I mean, if you want to say, we almost get like a top 10.
Oh, a top 10. Okay.
They'll show us. You know, it's... Because like Anthony said, I mean, with thousands of videos like that, we would never be sleeping if we
Oh, yeah.
Every single one.
I cannot imagine. You would probably have nightmares of sinks and faucets and things looking at that many things. But, you know, I remember you guys, one of your previous shows, were you surprised? Vanessa Williams's brother, and that was, you redid his was it his kitchen and his living room or something, and it was just so cool. I love those doors, you guys, the garage looking doors with the glass or something like that, with the accordion doors or whatever it was. It was just awesome.
Yeah, it was a glass garage door. Thank you. And I mean, you know, that's a lot of what you can expect on America's mm-hmm. Most Desperate Kitchen too. It's you know, thinking outside the box, doing the unexpected, mm-hmm. or doing something that's kind of normal but with unexpected materials, you know, just always trying to put, you know, our twist on that design and on that construction project.
And so do the...
Yeah, exactly.
Do the homeowners, do they have... So how does this work about the budget? Do you guys give them a budget, or do they have a budget that you guys work with, or how does that happen with this show?
No, I mean, this is no payment by the homeowner. This is hitting a lottery.
Oh, wow.
This is a gift from us to them.
Oh man,
yeah, this is a huge gift. So pretty much, so just the basic breakdown of the show is, like Anthony said earlier, we watch the top 10. So you see us in the show, which is really cool, because normally you don't get to see that process. So you get to see all these videos that people are putting in. They necessarily are not going to get picked. So as a viewer at home, you're like, oh, I wonder which, are they going to pick that guy? Are they going to pick that one? That's the one I would have picked. So you kind of get to see that process. And then once we pick the person, our production team is just letting them know that on this day, you know, you have to be home because you're one of the top three.
Okay.
Once we let them know that they're a top three, we give them a window. We might show up, we might not. That's what you have to wait for. And And that person that we get to show up for, total surprise, they have no clue that we're coming. And we clean their house and kick them out that day and start the project right then and there. And I would say on average, you're anywhere, these renovations are anywhere from, I would say, you know, $50,000 to $75,000.
Oh my goodness.
More in kitchen work. That's not even that, and forget what the equity that goes into your house on top of it, but it is over the top kitchens.
Just for one kitchen, that's a lot. That's, wow, you're right. That's the kitchen lottery right there.
It is. Well, and like Anthony said, we're, you know, yes, it's the kitchen, mm-hmm. but inevitably we're taking down walls and we're doing either the dining room, the living room. Mm-hmm. It sometimes turn into a whole first floor, so.
Oh, my goodness. I can't wait to see it. I just can't wait to see it. I have,
you're not going to have to wait too much longer.
No, I really I wish I could be at the party, but I'll just settle for the July 1st premiere. I have a quick question here from I had a lot of people knew I was going to talk to you guys, and they got questions. And so one person wants to know, Ellen, who happens to be not that Ellen, I wish it was. Another Ellen wants to know, how do you guys, I'm sorry, I'm looking at the wrong question. This Ellen is two Ellens, actually. Ellen wants to know, how long have you guys worked together on building projects? Did it start in childhood, building toys together, or what?
we hung out as kids together quite a bit. And, you know, it's one thing to be cousins, it's another to be friends, and then it's another to know that you could work together. So after we got out of college, you know, we always remained friends. We would go out every weekend together. And then, you know, as my dad's and mine construction company was growing, you know, I the first person I thought of was John, because I knew I could work with him. We have the same work ethic. We have the same level of organization, the same passion for this stuff. You know, I approached him about it, and he was on board. So we haven't looked back since then. And that's we're going on seven years now of construction and design and development together.
Okay, I got one more question. A guy named Rico, who's a big fan of the show, also wants to know, did television find you guys, or did you guys find television? In other words, how'd you get on TV?
It definitely found us. Okay. One of our friends, going on, you know, it's 4.5 years ago, pretty much took a video of us, and, you know, she twisted our arm and said she thought we should be on TV. She randomly sent it in to a production company, and about 10 months later, we got a call out of the blue saying, hey, look, they liked your video. Would you shoot a pilot? And we were we were like, absolutely, we'll do it. We didn't know what to expect. Once we shot that pilot, you know, the crazy train really took off, and we've never looked back, and we've been just making episodes ever since. So it was something that we never expected. You know, we prepared ourselves by always doing our job, loving design, loving construction, and having a passion for the business. But now, you know, now to make as much television, to go on to our fourth show like this, and I think we're upwards of 70-something episodes. It's really incredible, and we're having a great time and want to do it for many more years.
Oh, well, America is loving you guys. It's something about HGTV and relatives. You know, you got the twins up in Canada. You got the cousins here in Jersey. It's a big family turning into here, which is good. It's really good. But guys,
yeah, there's a lot of different family members on DIY and HG. Great.
Yeah, it really is. my last question here, do you guys get requests from other family members wanting you to help out their kitchens or living rooms or whatever?
in Kitchen Cousins, we did my parents' kitchen, so they benefited. And when Superstorm Sandy came through, you know, Anthony's father and my uncle, their shore house was pretty beat up down in LBI, and an episode of Cousins on Call, we redid the inside and the backyard. So, yeah, I think our family, I think they've kind of made out a little bit, so they're definitely happy.
Oh, that's so cool. And I'm sure you guys gave them the family rate of what, like totally free or almost free?
Of course.
Yay.
Yeah.
That's
absolutely
cool. That's real. Well, John and Anthony, we're going to all be tuning in July 1 HGTV America's Most Desperate Kitchens.
You got that right.
Capital D.
Man, I can just see some of it. Ooh, yeah. Because I'm thinking of my relatives.
Get ready. Just get ready, because you are going
to
laugh.
I know. I can just, oh, yeah, this is going to be great. Well, guys, I hope to talk with you next show. I know it's going to be yet another great Cousins project coming probably maybe next season or next year. Is that not true, or can you give us a hint? No hint? Maybe? No?
No hints yet.
We're just focused on the big premiere here, and after that premiere hits, we'll start unfolding some info for everybody.
Okay. Well, we'll be tuning
all
in.
Right.
Well, thank you, guys. Have fun at your big party.
Thank you so much.
It was great talking to you.
Okay,
take
care.
Thank you so
all right.
much.
Thank you, guys.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah, we did that interview earlier this morning, and I tell you, if I was in the New Jersey, New York area, I would just sashay right on over to the party. They did invite me. I am invited. I'm just not in the zip code right now. I didn't know these guys owned two restaurants. Yeah, are they making all the money or what? They got their several shows. They've got a line of product line. Now they've got two restaurants. What else will John and Anthony do next? So being their cousin is working out in a great way for both of them. Wonder if they adopt me as an official. No, I guess not. Well, anyway, you can see America's Most Desperate Kitchens again Wednesday, July 1 from 8 to 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time on the HGTV Network. Which, again, is one of my favorite networks there. So, what else do I... Oh, yeah, I have to tell you once again that we have not one, not two, but three guests for this particular show. We have Jasmine Lewis, actress, and she will be joining us next. And we also have, if we don't run out of time, we have a quick interview that I did a few days ago with comedic actor Eddie Griffin, who is a really, really funny guy. Want to also remind you that we're going to have another giveaway coming up very, very soon, so make sure you tune in if you want to be a part of it. And for those of you who are listening right now here this morning, a reminder, you can, if you missed the show, maybe somebody you know, you want them to hear the show, maybe one of these performers, entertainers, celebrities, personalities, maybe that's a big fan of somebody that you know. If you missed today's show, you can hear Film Festival Radio again. We will repeat this show on Monday. Every Monday, we will repeat it from 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time, Film Festival Radio 2. Same show, but we're just playing it all over again. So that's on Mondays. Every Mondays from 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Okay, let's roll right along into actress Jasmine Lewis. Jasmine and I had such a great conversation. We probably talked really and truly over an hour. We just had to cut it down to what you're about to hear. Jasmine, of course, is better known as the wife of Ice Cube in all of the Barbershop movies, 1, 2, and they are wrapping up Barbershop 3. I believe Jasmine says they're going to wrap it up this weekend. Yeah, I think she said the 28th or so, something like that. But anyway, she absolutely assures us that Barbershop 3 is going to be funnier than both 1 and 2 put together. Well, yeah, because you know why? Not only do they have Jasmine Lewis, they have Ice Cube. Of course, he is the founder, creator, star of all of this mayhem and funniness. Nicki Minaj will be in Barbershop 3. Michael Ealy, including his gorgeous eyes, will be there. Cedric the Entertainer will be there. Anthony Anderson and Queen Latifah. Now, that's an all-star cast. That is an all-star cast. And so the movie Barbershop 3 will be out early next year, about around Valentine's Day season. So get ready. Get ready to laugh. This would be a great film to take your girlfriend or your boyfriend or your significant other. Just go have a lot of fun at the Barbershop 3 movie when it premieres. Here's a couple of things that I didn't know about Jasmine Lewis. Maybe you knew this. I did not know that before she became famous as an actress, she was known for being one of the Coors Light spokesmodels. I did not know that. But she did from 2001 to 2002, and I did not know that she's from Cleveland, Ohio. So these are two Jasmine Lewis facts that I did not know. And, you know, maybe for you guys who are longtime fans of hers, you probably knew that. I'm the one that's left out. So now we are all educated about Jasmine Lewis. So without any further delay, let's talk with Jasmine Lewis and see what she has to say. I kind of know, but I want you to know about it too. So let's roll it.
Let's just get down to business here. You are you are back again, starring as Ice Cube's wife, Barbershop 3. Oh, my God. How bad and how funny is it going to be?
I'll tell you this. Barbershop 1 was a really good movie.
Yeah.
We all disown Barbershop 2,
mm-hmm.
but this one will be the best of all of them.
Okay. And why is that?
Several reasons. One, we have an amazing director, Malcolm Lee, who has a vision for this whole project, and he is executing that. He has improved and changed the script. We have an amazing script now. We have our whole main cast back, and we have a bunch of incredible new faces in this one.
Okay, and so who are some of the new faces we got?
Well, of course, we've got Oscar award-winning Common,
yes.
Amazing in this movie. We have Dion Cole, who is from Blackish. Lamorne Morris, who is from New Girl. Regina Hall, who's from Everything.
Yeah.
Nicki Minaj.
Yes.
We have Nicki Minaj. We have China Lane. So, you know, those are our main new people in this.
Okay.
They're just killing it.
And so, did it surprise you guys that people just did not warm up to Barbershop 2 the way you know everybody thought they would have, or what?
No, it didn't surprise us. We didn't think they were going to warm up to Barbershop 2. We didn't even like Barbershop 2.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
What? So you, as you guys were making 2, you just kind of felt that this don't smell, feel, taste right. Is that what that was?
We knew that for a fact.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay.
For a fact. It was, you know, we had a new director. We were supposed to have Tim Story back, who did 1, and he did an amazing job on 1. Things happened. Communications broke down. We got a new director who came on board, brought a script that no one liked, and it kind of just took us away from what the Barbershop movie was really about. Mm-hmm. You know, it's about family. Ice Cube, his actual family, and his extended family, which are the Barbers.
Yes.
It was always a family movie, and he took us away from that. You know, we knew from the day one it was not what we wanted it to be.
Okay.
But as a cast, there's not much we can do about that.
That's true. That's very true. But now, it's all fixed.
Yes.
Everything is fixed. Are you guys finished with production? Are you in editing?
We actually go to the end of the month. I think our last shoot date is the 28th.
Okay. And so you're shooting in Los Angeles or Atlanta or where?
We're in Atlanta, and it's interesting because we're still a Chicago movie. We're set in Chicago. We shot the first 2 in Chicago.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, Atlanta's given so many production texts and sensors to come
on
down there. We just moved it on down there.
Okay.
But it's still going to be originally set in Chicago.
Oh, okay. So you, of course, everybody knows you as sweet, but, you know, you're like the bittersweet wife, little
mm-hmm.
Jennifer Palmer. So what can we expect from you, your character, this round?
Well, this round, she's much more involved.
Okay.
You know, my character was always sort of on the outside of just sort of a support system for Calvin, for my husband, which is cute.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But this time she's, you know, she's making some decisions. We have a teenage son. Now he's like 13 or 14 in this movie, which is played by Michael Rainey from Power, who's amazing. And, you know, he's facing some challenges as a teenager. So, you know, Jennifer gets to not only just support her husband, but actually have some opinion in the raising of their kid and how things should be done. And, mm-hmm. you know, Jennifer's always had an opinion on the barbershop, and
yes.
she gets to weigh in on that again as well. But, yeah, she's just now more integral in the family dynamic.
Well, that should be fun. I mean, we're going to,
yeah.
you know, we always like for the ladies to have these strong characters, and so that's going to be
yeah.
a lot of fun. So behind the scenes, you know, of this particular cast, who can break you up to break character? Who's good at that for you?
Oh, my God. Well, actually, there are so many now. I'm surprised we've gotten through as far as we have. aside from Cedric, which everyone always knows, I don't care what he's doing. As soon as he opens his mouth,
yes.
you're going to break character and laugh. And I don't know how many takes we get with Cedric in it because somebody's going to crack up. So he is what he is. But Lamorne Morris and Dion Cole have come in, and they will absolutely be the breakout stars of this movie because they are killing it. I mean, literally, there's nothing they can say that you're not cracking up laughing at.
That's good. I can't wait. Can't wait. Well,
yes.
Can you give us a clue on the any hints or tips about the storyline?
You know, because it's a barbershop set on the south side of Chicago where there's always, you know, trouble within the neighborhood. That is what it is. We're always in jeopardy of either losing or moving the barbershop, and this time we are talking again about moving it because now where we are, our son is starting to display some activity that his mother and father do not approve of in any way.
Okay.
So we are actually talking about moving the shop into a different part of, you know, the city, getting him away from some of his friends that are not a great influence. One of the fathers of my son's best friend is played by Common. And, you know, my husband and his character's name is Rashad are very, very close. But when his son and my son get together and they start looking at the wrong direction with the colors and the gangs and things, we got a problem.
Okay.
So, you know, that mixed with, you know, we've got Nicki Minaj in there playing Drea, who's like sort of the sexy barber, because they have mixed now the barbershop and the beauty shop, which Regina Hall's character runs, together. So, you know, we've got the sex appeal and the, you know, trying to save the shop again, talking about maybe moving the shop, saving our son from himself mm-hmm. and the neighborhood. That's a little piece of the storyline mixed with
okay.
a whole bunch of comedy to the point where you would be literally in tears.
I can only imagine. a couple of years ago, I went to a beauty shop that was combined. It was just like you said, a beauty shop and a
yeah.
barber shop. Oh, my God, it was crazy, but it was funny. It was
hilarious.
Which
is exactly kind of why this is, because, you know, women talk about one thing in the beauty shop, and men talk about something totally different.
Yes.
And now you got it all in one area.
Yes. And that's
that, that's where the comedy sort of ensues. But, you know, you can solve the world's issues in a beauty shop or a barbershop.
Oh, yeah. You can. You can just step on one side and solve the issues, and then step on the other side and start a war. So, hey, there you go.
That's right.
There you go. Well, now we know you have a son in real life.
Yeah.
So, playing
this
in.
This time around, the first two I did not. Which is interesting.
So what, okay.
I was playing a mother.
You were playing a mother, so you are a mom now. So how has this made a difference
yes.
in you playing the character now?
It's so vastly different because, you know, when I was talking as a mother the first two times around, I said the words and, you know, I'm an actor, I'm going to put some stuff in it. But this time, the character, I believe Jennifer came much more to life because the words had much more meaning to me. When I'm talking to my child, whether he's 4 or 14, because mine is only 4, it's still the same feeling. You're still connected to that person. You want the best thing for them and at any cost.
That's true.
You know, so it's like my character has a lot more depth now because I actually have experienced what I'm talking about, and I know what it feels like, you know,
mm-hmm.
to help raise a young man.
Oh, yes. very different than
that's
it was.
Very, very big difference.
Big difference. Well, now, since he is four, obviously he has had his first visit to the barbershop. So with you being, you know, in these barbershop movies, I mean, what was his first experience like going to the barbershop?
Well, that's what's interesting, because my son, you know, I have a whole lot of hair.
Mm-hmm.
And my son actually got my hair.
Okay.
So when I didn't cut his hair until he was about over three. So it was all the way down his back. And what made me decide to get it cut the first time was when someone said that my daughter is beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, okay, we're done.
Yeah, it's time to go.
Yep. So I actually couldn't take him to a barbershop. He actually has to have a scissor cut, like women's hair. So I took him to a beauty shop.
Okay.
For kids. Okay. And he had a blast. He loved it. He said, now I feel my own hair. It's much better now. I'm like, okay, I love you. I'm glad you love it. So,
okay.
It was all good. He was great.
He was great. So you had that opportunity. And so, Dad, I guess maybe later on it'll be Dad's turn.
Yeah, you know, and Dad comes with us, but he doesn't have a whole lot to do with the scissor cut, so it's mostly me.
Oh, that is so, so very cute. That's cute. So you said you guys are going to be wrapping up production by the end of the month. And any idea as to when the movie will be released, or have they given a projection?
Yes.
When's that?
We have a date. We have February, I believe it's either the 19th, the 16th or the 19th of 2016.
Oh, wow. Valentine's Day season.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be so much fun. So much fun.
Oh, yeah.
What's it like playing Ice Cube's wife? What's that like?
Well, you know, Ice Cube is awesome.
He's
so not, like, you know, I went into the first two movies with a little bit of trepidation. Because, you know, I'm getting the whole, hang on, just one quick second.
She's kind of doing something. I feel like I hear a dog. Okay, yeah, is that sound like a dog in the background?
So I went in there, I'm like really nervous because, you know, I'm going to work with somebody from NWA. That's what I thought about. He is so not bad. He is a family man. He is the nicest human being. Just an amazing actor. And a lot of that was that image that I had completely went out the window. So he's fun. You never know what you're going to get. He's a really, really good actor, so he's just going to give you something. And you better, when he throws the ball to you, you better hit it back.
And you do. You hit a home run each time with this character. And the fact that he keeps calling you back is good. Excellent for us, the fans here.
Yeah, we're all real happy about that. He was very adamant when he decided to do number three that the entire first cast had to come back or he wasn't in it. He wasn't down.
So you've been in the business a while and longevity, and you've been
20 years.
I can't believe you don't. You look like you're 20 yourself.
Yeah, let's go with that.
Really, you do. I'm serious, Jasmine. Man, I mean, they need to sign you up to be spokesmodel or spokesperson for some of these products. I mean, you look amazingly great, and I know how important that is in Hollywood. Man, that's amazing.
Crucial.
Yes. So, you know, after you had your son, were you, like most women, were you really concerned about getting the body back? And what did you do? Somebody told me to ask you that.
Oh, hilarious. No, I wasn't concerned. I actually worked. I did movies up until 3 weeks before I delivered him because I never actually showed. I only gained 13 pounds even though I had a healthy baby boy. A big one, too. Not that big, but like he was very long. He was like 22 inches long and over 6 pounds.
That's
basically
big.
He just took everything I consumed. I ate because I was a little bit nervous when I wasn't gaining weight. Mm-hmm. You know, I was actually not one of those actors that were like, oh, I'm afraid to gain weight. No, actually about my fourth month when I realized I was not only not gaining weight, I was losing weight. I got nervous, so I started just eating everything in sight, and I still never gained. I gained 13 pounds my whole pregnancy.
Oh, Jasmine, so, I gained that much weight last week. My goodness.
And you know what's so funny? It's kind of a story I don't really get to tell moms because they're like, now how in the world would that happen, yet you still had a very healthy baby? Like I said, I carried him completely in my back, so I never showed. I did a movie called Dreams, and 3 weeks later I delivered it to him.
Oh,
and the cast never knew I was even pregnant, but I was shooting in Chicago, so I told the producers, like, in case I go into labor, they actually need to know that I'm pregnant. So I told them, and they couldn't believe it, and I was like, okay.
That's
so
scary.
It was fine. And then I went back to work about, I think he was 5 weeks old, and I did a series in Miami.
Well, you are the trooper. You need to do a book. You really should. You should. Yeah, you should. Everybody else is doing, they're either doing books or doing reality shows. I think you should do both. I think you should.
Okay.
You should. You really, really should. I mean, you.
Now, what kind of reality show would I do? You're a writer. You tell me.
Okay, listen. If you are serious, you've got my number. You call me back because I have pitched reality shows before, and I am. Oh, perfect. Now, tell me about the other projects coming out.
I actually have one called Pantheress that's coming out, where I got to play a Black Panther, but now. So I got to do martial arts and save the neighborhood because it's in South Philly and it's super dangerous. And, you know, that was actually fun. Guns and whips and fighting. And I had not done action in a while, and that was good. That one is coming out. And then I have another one that's coming out. What is the name of that movie? you know what's so sad? I have to look on my own IMDb.
Oh, that's okay.
Like, what am I doing?
That's okay.
Yeah, that's really crazy. Oh, LAPD African Pop.
Whoa! Is that a movie?
It's a movie, and it's two actual Africans that are from Nigeria, and they came over here to join our LAPD with African values, meaning they have no clue what our justice system is like in any way.
That has to be funny.
Oh my God, it is hilarious. I laughed through the whole movie.
I cannot. When will that one be out?
That one is actually coming out this fall.
Oh, Jasmine, I cannot wait to see that.
that's true comedy.
Just the storyline. Funny.
Oh, yeah, because they don't have any idea how it really works over here being police officers.
Yes.
At all. So everything is wrong, and they can't figure out, well, what's the problem?
Okay. Oh, my gosh. You've got some real good assignments here. That's amazing.
Yes.
Wow. Well, your year is already booked up for the rest of 2015, then.
Well, you know, just in releases. Not in shooting things. You know, I'm actually supposed to, well, we'll see what happens. So they have to figure out the contract. But I'm actually supposed to start another movie in about a month and a half. So we'll see. I'll give you the scoop on that once contracts are actually signed. Cause
okay.
They have to do that.
Okay. Well, I know how that's... girl, I could go on for days with this stuff. The last thing... you've been in Hollywood 20 years and being, you know, you've been very consistent. A consistent working African-American female actress.
Mm-hmm.
Is it better? Is it getting better? Is it okay? What's the climate for a working Black actor, actress?
It is getting better. It was great in the 90s. We had every TV show on. We had UPN. We had networks that anytime you wanted to do TV, all you got to do is walk out the door.
Oh.
And you will have a job on a show. And then all those networks, you know, went away. And then there was nothing for people of color, period. And now it is coming back. You know, we have lots of shows like Empire and Blackish and lots of new things this pilot season that you will see this fall where we are a strong presence, women especially.
Oh, good.
Are a very strong presence on. So it is coming back, and movies are the same. You know, they may not be enormous studio movies, but they're well done independent movies that have distribution and you will get to see in theaters. So, you know, I think slowly but surely we are coming back. And the more we, as especially African American women, produce and write, the better it will get.
Yes, absolutely. That's the key to it. Those,
yeah,
you know, getting some behind the scene power, muscle is so important.
That's what we need.
Yeah.
But we do have like Shonda Rhimes and people like that. That are helping the situation. Ava DuVernay, who is an amazing director for movies and stuff. You know, all Black women. And so we're getting some. And like I said, the more we do and the more, like you say, power that we get, we can green light our own projects. And we don't have to play just, you know, the same character, the same hood rat all over and over again.
That's it. I'm so sick of news.
Mm-hmm. I don't do it.
And you haven't, and that's great. And you've taken a stance, and that's probably why you've been so consistent. That's great.
Yeah.
That's
really
great.
I could have worked a lot more, but I chose not to take that path because I think my career would have been shorter.
Yeah.
I would have been a lot more pigeonholed. Mm-hmm. And once the next new ratchet younger girl comes along, you're out.
Yeah.
And that's all you can do.
That's it. And if people will notice that a lot of, won't say all of them, but a big chunk of the reality show women with the ratchet style on these shows, after those shows are over, they go nowhere.
That's exactly right. Because that's all they could do.
Mm-hmm. It's over.
They didn't do anything with their 15 minutes.
No.
That's because they can't.
No, and the industry does not take them seriously at all.
No.
And I just
be the ratchet girl that threw a bottle across the room.
That's it. Well, anyway, Miss Jasmine, wow, what a great conversation we have had. I love it.
Yes, thank you. It was so good.
I just love it.
I do. Did we not have a good time? We were just laughing way too much. But she is so easy to talk to, as you can see. Very much like some of it, a little bit like her character that she's done in Barbershop 3, 2, and, well, about to be 3. We can go in reverse. 3, 2, 1. 1, 2, 3. But the new Barbershop 3, they are wrapping up in a few more days. The movie will be premiering around Valentine's Day of next year. I can't get over that she only gained 13 pounds during her whole pregnancy. I mean, really, I could walk through a Pizza Hut and gain 13 pounds, just passing through, like on my way to the bathroom or something, in a Pizza Hut, I gained 13 pounds. Oh, my God, that's just incredible. But just so much. I mean, we just went all over the map, didn't we? But I like interviews like that because, you know, they feel comfortable. You can just jump from topic to topic and then wind it all up about whatever their project is. And that's always some good conversation because I'm just kind of, you know, naturally nosy, if you have not noticed that by now. But anyway, that is Jasmine Lewis coming back again as Ice Cube's wife in the upcoming Barbershop 3. Okay, we do have enough time. Let me quickly tell you that we have a lot of great guests coming up on some of the shows for July. I can't tell you about all of them because they have not been totally nailed down and confirmed, but I will be able to tell you next week, I will give you the rundown of some of our upcoming guests for Film Festival Radio July. More independent filmmakers, more to come. Okay. Let me quickly tell you that Eddie Griffin, comic, actor, stand-up comic guy, he's a household name. We don't really need that much of an introduction. We all know Eddie Griffin, but he is a part of the Black and Brown Comedy Get Down tour featuring Cedric the Entertainer, Mike Epps, Eddie, of course, Eddie Griffin, D.L. Hughley, George Lopez, and Charlie Murphy. And these guys are on the road in between all of their other gigs that they do for television and film. They all get together, and they have a really good time. They make a lot of people laugh on the Black and Brown Comedy Get Down tour. In addition, you can find Eddie Griffin performing in Las Vegas nightly when he's not on tour at the Rio Hotel Resort and Casino. Beautiful hotel. So if you happen to be in Vegas this summer, want to catch a show, get you some laughs with Eddie Griffin, go to his show at the Rio. You can find more information about where he's appearing from his website, eddiegriffin.com. He'll also be appearing in Oklahoma City, I believe it's July 20th. Is it July 20th? No, I may have that wrong. It's either August. I think it's August 25th. I may have that wrong. But go to his website, eddiegriffin.com. to get the exact specific date of when he will be appearing in Oklahoma City. But if you can't wait, he's at the Rio in Vegas. Double reason to go to Vegas. Go to Vegas to get you some money. Go to Vegas to, well, as they say, whatever happens in Vegas. Maybe we shouldn't even discuss that. But anyway, let's tune in and click on Eddie Griffin. We had a lot of fun as well, so take a listen.
Yes, ma'am.
Hi, I have Mr. Griffin on the line for you.
All right. Hello, Mr. Eddie Griffin. Good to talk with you.
Likewise. Janice, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Eddie. Gosh, it's been years since I talked to you, and it's you're just still out there making us laugh, and that's always a good thing. My goodness.
Yeah, I can't stop it.
Just in your blood. It's just all there is to it.
It's in my blood.
Well, now, Eddie, your publicist told me to ask you. She said there is a bit of a story behind how the Black and Brown Comedy Get Down Tour started. So what is that story?
It started out as we did a benefit show in Peoria, Illinois, last November to raise money to get the statue of Richard. It's like a 7-foot-tall statue, bronze statue outside of Peoria, Illinois now, and you pull into his hometown.
Okay.
So it was me, George Lopez, Cedric the Entertainer, D.L., Charlie Murphy, and Mike Epps. So after the show, we had a ball. We hung out till like 5 in the morning drinking, clowning, and whatnot. So George Lopez asked everybody if we wanted to take the thing on tour, and that's how it started.
Wow, what a great story. Ah.
And so Richard put the tour together.
And he is somewhere up there looking down, making sure you guys don't miss a beat. I know
yeah,
he is.
We ain't missing it either.
You're not. Everybody's loving this. So, you guys, Mike, yourself, Cedric, Charlie, George, DL, you guys travel all together or you just meet up whenever you get to the city?
No, we travel all together.
All right, that's what I wanted to hear. Okay, out of all of you, who are the sloppy guys and who are the neat guys on tour?
Everybody is a grown man. Everybody is neat with their stuff. Everybody take care of their stuff. So
okay.
There ain't a sloppy one in the bunch.
Wow, that's great to hear. That is excellent to hear. Because I was going to say,
it's not a little kid to it. We all been doing this 20-plus years. So everybody's professional. Everybody's a grown man and about their business.
Well, I was thinking, I was like, well, I wonder who is the Felix and who is the Oscar Madison on this tour. But everybody's Felix, so that's good.
Uh-huh.
That's really, really cool. So what is the for you personally, what is the coolest thing about hanging out and traveling and making money with these guys?
Nobody has an agenda, you know what I mean? Because everybody's got their own money. Everybody's been there and done the individual star time thing, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's not like you're hanging out with somebody just getting in the game, having an agenda, you know, them trying to get something out of you, something, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So you're hanging out with peers, and, you know, everybody can relax and put their guard down.
That's good. So when you are traveling, or maybe at home, who is it that you like to listen to as far as comedy, other than yourself, of course? Who are some new guys or girls? Who do you like to listen to laugh?
I'm putting on my old Rich Pryor albums.
Yes!
Sit down and laugh.
That's
it. I'm putting on some old Bill Cosby.
That's it. That's it.
You know what I mean? Some George Carlin, some Red Fox.
Yeah.
Some Miles Bailey, you know.
Oh man, you and I are riding in the same wagon on that one. That some of that old stuff is just, you know, the stuff when I was a kid, my mom used to just, don't you listen to that Richard Pryor?
Yeah, you get your butt whooped if you catch it down in that basement with that alpha.
Exactly. Exactly. And that, of course, that's the first thing we went and did the minute they left home. But
of course.
Oh my gosh. Well now, are you still doing Vegas?
Yes, I'm in Vegas right now. I live here, yeah.
Okay.
I've been there. You can catch me at the Rio. I'm on my fourth year here.
Yeah.
Monday through Thursday at 7 p.m.
7 p.m., okay. Somebody, I got two last questions because I know you have to go. But a couple
Bob Johnson came to my show last night.
Who was there?
Bob Johnson. He's the owner of BET.
Really? Oh, what an honor. That must have been for you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Well, now, for you personally, I've got some fans who told me to try to squeeze in their questions. They're big fans of yours. One lady, she said, use her name, her nickname is Lily, and she has a son who's a big fan of yours. And she said to ask Eddie, she said, my son is a big Eddie Griffith fan, and my son wants to get married early. And he says, well, Mom, Eddie got married as a teen. Why can't I do it? What do you have to say to her?
What do I have to say to her?
Yeah.
go upside his head a couple of times and tell him when he finished college and can take care of said family, he wants to start real early in life. Then you go and get married. Eddie did it at 15 and went to the Navy and took care of said family. Got out of Navy, having to have a God-given talent to take care of family. Stayed married 13 years, though. And if he's in it for the long haul, don't be just running around doing something stupid because Eddie did it.
Okay. Go upside that head first. That's what I like.
You understand me? Yeah, you got the first piece, and now you lost your damn mind. Boy, go test the water.
That's it. That's it, Eddie.
Sold the royal oats before you just, ooh, this one is good. I'll put a ring on.
That's it. That is so it. Well, my last question here is, all of these shows, these different challenge shows, Last Comic Standing, America's Got Talent, all these type of shows, what do you think about? You think if you were just starting out, was this something you would do or what?
No.
No?
Okay. No. Because you're going to brand, you're coming in the game branded as a contest winner.
Ah.
And, you know, only one has been able to raise above and beyond that. And, what's his sister's name from Dreamgirls?
Oh, Jennifer Hudson.
Jennifer Hudson is the only one that survived. And the only reason she survived is because she didn't win the show.
Isn't that something?
But none of the winners have a fucking career.
That just call it what it is. They don't. You're right. Most people can't even remember who won last year or the year before.
They don't care. They just love watching the contest, the drama of it.
Yeah, that's it. Exactly. So,
but it ain't like they're going to buy the album when it come out.
No.
Because in their mind, I watched this motherfucker for a year before. I'm getting ready to buy an album. No, it ain't happening.
You're right. Well, and this is
they could extend other people's songs, but as soon as they put out their own original material, it ain't happening.
It drops. It flops. All the cover songs are great because they're already hits. You're right.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, Eddie, this is my final comment. And I know you're going to think this is crazy, but you have the most gorgeous teeth. And I'm really a fanatic behind great smiles. You just got these great teeth. You must never drink coffee or wine or anything.
I drink it all, baby. It's called having a good-ass dentist and paying him enough money.
Okay. Just that simple.
Oh, my grandmother used to do. Get your toothbrush and some baking soda.
There it is.
And brush it with that baking soda. It is a light abrasive, and it'll polish the bad boys right up.
Guy, it's working for you. I think your dentist doesn't have very much to do, I see here, but I'm loving it. But, Eddie, you know what? Your publicist said you've got an appointment, but I plan on moving to your city by the end of the summer. I'm going to come and check you out at the Rio. Got to.
Well, just ask for me at the door and tell them who you are and interview me, and I'll make sure the tickets are free.
Oh, Eddie, that's great. Thank you so very much. And I look forward to seeing you on the Black and Brown Comedy Get Down Tour with the rest of your friends. Okay. And flash that smile when you see me now.
I sure will. I'm flashing it right now.
Okay. Well, take care of yourself now.
Okay.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Yeah, I said it. I complimented Eddie Griffin's teeth. They are gorgeous. He has really good-looking teeth, and he said it's all due to his great dentist, and he probably obviously pays him quite well. Well, listen, we are totally out of time. I want to thank all three of our guests here. Actually, we had four. The Kitchen Cousins, John Calinari and Anthony Carino from their new show, America's Most Desperate Kitchens on the HGTV network, premieres July 1, 8 to 8:30 Eastern. I want to thank Jasmine Lewis, actress who will be seen in Barbershop 3 next February, along with Ice Cube, Nicki Minaj, Michael Ealy, Cedric the Entertainer, Anthony Anderson, and Queen Latifah will all be starring in this all-star cast And finally, Eddie Griffin. I want to thank him. You can catch Eddie once again at the Rio Monday through Thursday, I believe it is, in Las Vegas, and also on the Black and Brown Comedy Get Down Tour. Go to his website, eddiegriffin.com, to get the exact dates of when he will be coming to laugh and have fun in your city. Okay, that's going to do it for this edition of Film Festival Radio Show. Thank you guys for listening. Have a safe weekend, and tune in again to our show on Monday, 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. So have a great weekend, and we'll see you guys next week.
Thank you for listening to another edition of Film Festival Radio with your host, Janice Malone. Be sure to download this and other episodes at filmfestivalradio.com.